Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 through 26. Let's read responsibly, please. I'll read verse number 21, then you with me on verse 22 until we're finished with the reading. A strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for loving us and for your great and wonderful plan of redemption. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll deal with our hearts. Lord, help us to listen intently and on purpose. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll work down inside and work on us and make us what we ought to be. Dear Lord, let the message from the Word of God speak to us in a special way. Thank you for the folks who are here. Give us a joyous service, one where we come and repent and confess. Some who might be here this evening who are not saved, not born again. Some who are so far away from God, and oh, how they need to come back to the sweetness of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God, give us real revival. Thank you for doing so many things for us already. Now continue that great work. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your finger, if you will, at Luke 11. And I'd like to also have you go back to Genesis chapter number 3, just for a point of reference as I begin the message. The Lord Jesus Christ is ever in direct and open antagonism to Satan. It's always the case. Genesis 3:15 has been emphatically fulfilled. Remember what it said in Genesis 3, verse 15? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15 has been emphatically fulfilled. Christ has never, now listen to me, Jesus Christ has never tolerated a truce with the evil one, and never will. There's a deadly, implacable, infinite, eternal hatred between Christ and the devil. Go with me, if you will, to 1 John, real quickly. Keep your finger at Mark 11, 1 John, chapter 3. I said there is a constant hatred between Christ and the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Drop down, if you will, to verse number 8. He that committeth sin, listen to this, is of the devil. That's powerful stuff. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, there's no compromise can ever be thought of. The Lord will not be turned in his purpose to one day take the devil and cast that devil into, eventually, the lake of fire. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ will not be deterred. He will not be turned one iota from that eternal purpose to cast someday the devil into the lake of fire. There is a hatred between them, and the Lord Jesus Christ will win a decisive victory. He is not going to be defeated. One of the first pictures I want to show you back in Luke chapter 11 is this. I want you to see Luke 11 verse 21 as a picture of a man in his sinful state. Look at that verse and let me read it for you one more time. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now note, although man's heart was intended to be the throne of God, and that's exactly what your heart was created for, was to be the throne room of God, man's heart has become the palace of Satan. You see, the strong man in verse 21 is the devil. I'll explain that a little bit later, but the strong man in verse 21 is the devil, and I want you to know that in some people's hearts, the throne room is the throne room, not of Christ, but of the devil. Whereas Adam was the servant of the Most High God, his body was a temple for God's love, what happened? Now, because of the fall, we have become, the Bible teaches us, the servants of sin. Our bodies have become the workshop of Satan. Everybody you see outside the walls of the Church of Jesus Christ who has never been saved, their heart has become the workshop of Satan. God never intended that to happen. God never intended that for it to be. God wanted your heart to be the throne of His very kingdom. He wants to be the king in your heart. But look what's happened because of the fall. We become the servants of sin. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Go back, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Ephesians, just real quick. Ephesians 5 and verse number 6. Here's what it says. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now you understand something. This spirit is called a strong man. And I want you to know the devil is a strong man. And I want to ask you this question tonight as we begin the message. Who can stand against this strong man? Samson? Could he stand against the strong man? The strong man who slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass falls as a victim to a stronger fiend. Oh yes, he who could rend a lion with his bare hands was really no match at all for the lion in the pit. That lion in the pit is the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be a Samson or whoever, but you're no match for the devil. The devil is the lion of the pit. Who can stand against this individual called the devil? Solomon, could he do it? The wisest man, the wisest of all men? No, he was outwitted by Satan, and his heart was led astray by women. The devil is so strong. But I want you to know tonight, he's not so strong simply because he's strong with possessing much force, but in the sense of a cunning and vengeance. I want you to know tonight, he knows exactly our weaknesses. Do you understand me tonight? He knows exactly what'll trip your trigger. He knows exactly your weaknesses. He knows exactly how to get a hold of you. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He knows exactly what makes you fall. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our besetting sins. He knows the times when we are tempted. And he knows exactly how to tempt us. And he knows exactly when to tempt us. He knows the joints in our harness better than we do. Oh, Christian friend, let me tell you tonight, we ought to, every one of us in this room, rejoice that there is a stronger than he. Because there is a stronger than the strong man. You see, that strong man would literally crush us if there wasn't a stronger than he. If it were not for the almightiness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil would already have crushed us. He comes, the Almighty Christ does, however, he comes to rescue us. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes to rescue us. We have something to be proud of. Now note something, the strong man is armed. In that verse, if you'll notice, he is armed, it says. When a strong man armed, the strong man is the devil. Now, don't forget that. And so he's armed here. What in the world is he armed with? I get to thinking about that this afternoon as I was studying. And the principal weapon that the devil has is the lie. That's how he's armed, is with the lie. You know, it was by a lie that he overthrew our race. He continues even today to destroy the souls of men by the lie. You see, he tells young people, you can go out and have a good time, and religion and church is for a bunch of old fuddy-duddies. Nobody who's really hip and with it can enjoy being saved, man. And so we believe the lie, and we follow the lie, and it destroys us. Amen. He makes men dance on the brink of hell, as though they were on the very verge of heaven. And so many think they are almost to heaven, and yet they're headed straight to hell. Then we are told in verse 22 that he wears this armor. That armor has to be prejudice and ignorance and evil education. He wants us to have a hard heart. He wants to have a seared conscience. You know, I get to thinking about the devil and how he works in the workshop of men's hearts. And he doesn't want us to have a good revival here. The devil has tried, no doubt, to do everything he can to keep certain people from coming to the house of God, because when they hear the message from the Word of God, they just may get right with God, and the devil doesn't want that. That's why we ought to be vehemently out there tomorrow trying to get somebody to come to the service who's not saved, so they can hear a message, so they can be converted and trust Christ. But I'm telling you right now, you're in for a battle, because the devil doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want those folks being saved. Notice he's very watchful. In verse 21, it talks about he keepeth his palace. When the devil is the king in your heart, he keeps his palace. You're his palace. Every ungodly soul outside the walls of this church is the palace. Every soul is the palace of the devil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you might as well understand the scripture. He keeps careful watch over his palace. That's why it's so hard to get people saved. That's why it's so hard to get him in church. The old devil's guarding his palace. He's guarding his territory. He doesn't want you to get them saved. Isn't it pitiful? You may find sleeping saints, but you'll never find, folks, sleeping devils. They're on the guard all the time. Huh? He puts a double guard on the person when he is under the sound word of God. Sinners' hearts must be carried away by a storm, or they won't be carried away at all. And we have good reason given why Satan watches over the men whose heart he inhabits, because he considers the man to be his property. Look at Luke 11, 21 again. It says, he keepeth his goods. He considers that soul that he inhabits as his property. I don't think the ungodly sinner understands this. He is the property of the devil. And the devil is the king in that palace, in that man's heart, or that teenager's heart, or that woman's heart. Oh boy, I'd like to bust him asunder tonight. Amen? I wish this place was full of ungodly folks who need to hear a gospel message so we could bust the devil one more time in the nose and say, you're going to lose another one, buster. Amen. We're taking another one out of your grip. Amen. But notice the Bible says, he keepeth his goods. Not as good. They really all belong to God. But you see, the devil claims them. You see, he claims man's memory, and he makes the memory a storehouse for ill words and bad songs. That's why you can't get to young people. The devil has filtered their minds. You see, the devil says, that's my young person. That's my teenager. And I'll fill his mind with whatever I want to fill his mind with. And you as a mom and dad who are saved, born again, say, kids, turn off the rock music. Don't listen to the filth. Don't listen to the gutter talk and the gutter language. But back inside, if that young person is not saved, the old devil said, hey, that's my palace. Leave her alone, or leave him alone. He or she belongs to me, and I keep my goods. And so it gets in the memory, and all of a sudden that rock music comes in, and you can't understand why your child doesn't want to go to church and hear Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But boy, they like to go to some concert all the time. Huh? He keepeth his goods. So he fills the mind and he fills the memory with ill will and stinking rotten words and garbage gutter language. And you can't even reach him anymore hardly with a good gospel message. Amen? You know it to be true. Man's judgment he perverts. Man's love he sets on fire of hell. That's why we have so many illiterate children. Immorality in the home. Lust and perversion everywhere. You know why? Because of sin. He's literally setting our lust and our love on fire of hell. Takes man's imaginations and he dazzles them with foul delusions. All the powers of man, you see, Satan claims. The devil says, your mouth is my mouth. And if I want you to swear, you'll swear. Tomorrow at work, if somebody's in this room and you haven't given yourself totally to God, I'll guarantee you something will cause you to swear tomorrow. Don't you do it if you're a saint of God, because your mouth belongs to God, not to the devil. But oh, if there's young people and moms and dads in this room and you don't really belong to God, the devil says you belong to me, and so your mouth swears for me. Your eyes watch vanity and vulgarity. Your feet will take you to sinful amusement. Your hands will do the work for me, and your heart will become hardened. And I want you to sit in that church, and I never want you to respond to an altar call. I don't want you to go up front and pray and cry and seek God. I want you to sit there when the preacher preaches. You just sit there. And I'll tell you what, we have so many folks listening to that wicked, perverted devil. Man's imaginations, his heart, and not only his heart and his imaginations, but even his conscience is stupefied by the devil. He claims, you see, the whole man to be his own. He says, if you're not saved, if you're not born, it would scare me to death if I wasn't saved. Brother, I want you to know right now, this young man does not want to be a member of Satan's kingdom. I would never want the devil to say he owned James Lewis. One day, the stronger than he came in and gave me liberty and victory, and I'll never return to the strong man. Satan not only claims possession, but he claims sovereignty. Notice also in verse 21, the word palace is used. He said, his palace. The ungodly soul is his palace. A palace is usually the abode of a king, is it not? So you know what the devil thinks? The devil thinks or considers himself to be king in your life. He dwells in your heart. He considers himself to be the king. You know what people do to kings? They become servants to the king. And brother, that's exactly where the devil has us tonight. If you're not saved, born again, the devil has you under his power and you serve the devil. You're not kidding anybody. Note something else. While he keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. I want to stop right there and speak about this because this is the most scary part of what I'm going to preach about tonight. It says, while he keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That is the most fearful sign in this whole affair. Because the man who the devil owns and the man whom the devil says is my palace, and the man whom the devil says, he is my goods, is quite undisturbed because the devil keeps him in peace. That's why you ought to be on the street soul winning, folks. You ought to make some folks upset at you. They're not upset at you, they're upset at your Lord. Don't worry about it. The devil's made them upset at your Lord. But the devil is keeping these folks at peace. And you know what most fundamental churches are doing? We're not disturbing the kingdom of hell at all. We're letting them go. And we say, they're too hard to witness to. Brother Lewis, I got turned off 5 times today, and I'm tired of it. I hate rejection. That's what we say. I can't go soul winning. I go soul winning, they slam the door in my face. I've had them spit on me, slam the door. I mean, one guy, I knocked at his door and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ on a Saturday morning. He was drunk and a skunk. I mean, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't think he'd be drunk already. What can I help you with? And I told him who I was while I was there for him. I thought, uh-oh, what's he going to do with that? Okay. I stepped back all over my pant legs, dripping down my pant legs. Yuck. Before we left, that man was on his knees. Amen. It can be done. Amen. You see, the conscience does not prick these people. The thoughts of hell never disturb them. The wrath of God never frets them. Nothing awakens them. They can hear sermon after sermon. They can hear truth after truth. And there they sat. Saint of God, if you are indeed a saint of God, I mean if you are a saint of God, but you never come to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and never pray after you've been saved, then you're listening to the wrong voice. You've been set free. Don't listen to the devil. Every once in a while, everybody ought to be at an old-fashioned altar. Even though you've been saved. Amen? Doesn't hurt us at all. If you are content with the world and the prince who governs you, I'm telling you right now, you'll go on and on and on and on and on to your own destruction. The tenet of a heart is called an unclean spirit. You say, unclean spirit, I don't drink, I don't swear, I don't smoke, I don't lie, I don't take drugs, I'm not immoral. But remember something, folks. See, that's all the world's talk, and that's what they think when we come to witness to them. That's all that's wrong, is they drink, smoke, cuss, swear, chew, run with those that do, and all that sort of thing. And they think that's what we're concerned about. But just remember, it is just as much unclean to be unreconciled to God. Whether you smoke or not, if you're not reconciled to God, you're still unclean. Amen? Amen? I mean, it's just as unclean to be a stranger to Christ, to be disobedient to Christ, not to love the Redeemer. It's just as unclean. And I'm afraid in some of our fundamental churches, we've got folks sitting back with their arms folded, watching everybody else go to the altar, but they never go. And they're sitting there just as unclean as they can be. They need to go to an old-fashioned altar and get the cleansing. The devil is a devil. And the heart in which he dwells is no better than a den for a traitor to hide in. And that's what the devil's doing. He's hiding in their heart. Let's notice something else. Look down at chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. And notice, and here's what I really want to preach to you tonight. I want you to notice a partial reformation. In verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, now notice what he says, I will return unto my house once I came out, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. The unclean spirit. Now every unsaved person, every person who is not born again, has an unclean spirit inside of him. You believe that? Amen. Everybody who is not saved has an unclean spirit because they have the spirit of the devil inside of them. Amen? Now, the unclean spirit does something here. This is amazing. We don't hear much preaching about this, but this is amazing. The unclean spirit that's in an ungodly person goes out of him on his own free will. He's not cast out. He's not asked out. He's not thrown out. I'm talking about the unclean spirit leaves on his own free will. You better follow the preaching here. He leaves of his own will. Now, verse 24 is a key verse. He is not turned out, remember. There's no conflict. And I want you to know, in verse 24, he thinks that house he just came out of is still his house. Does it not say, I will return to my house? That's the evil spirit talking. Jesus said that's what the evil spirit says. The evil spirit says, I'm going to leave for a while. Now watch this. I'm going to leave for a while, but I'm coming back someday to my house. Now who's the house? The ungodly sinner. You follow me so far? Now watch this. There are people. I'm telling you, there are people who appear in our churches to be converted. They make a profession. I did not say they were saved. I say there are people who come to our fundamental independent Baptist churches and they make a profession at an altar. They even cry, brother. They weep. Oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. They make a profession. And here we sat. Now hold it. The evil spirit walks out of his own volition. Why? We receive them into our churches. They become members. Because outward life has been changed. Their outward life is giving evidence suddenly of a remarkable change. And there's no, I mean, I can understand it because the unclean spirit has walked away. I didn't say they were saved. They made a profession. And the unclean spirit on his own, he knew they were going to come to church that night. He knew they were going to go to the altar. So before that church service ever began, he said, I think I'll leave for a while my palace. Remember who's the palace? The ungodly sinner. I'm going to leave my palace for a while. And as he walks out of the palace, he looks back and says, but I'm going to return to my house. And he walks away. And that person walks in the door back there, comes in, sits in the pew, hears a gospel message, and sits there and says, ooh, I think I'll get saved. He walks down the aisle, walks at the altar, makes a profession of faith. Now we say, ooh, wonderful. They got saved. And we welcome into our church. We make them members. And on the outside, I mean, they even start looking like Christians. They even start talking like Christians. No kidding. They go to church. They begin to pray. They set up family devotions. They go to prayer meeting even on Wednesday night. They even come to revival meetings. They enjoy their religion. And boy, they really enjoy the excitement of a good preaching service or a real good song service where it's uplifted and really singing and everybody's having a good... Boy, I like this. And from all appearance, it looks like that they really got it. They go where all the saints go. They act like all the saints act. Well, the unclean spirit's gone. And suddenly, because the unclean spirit's gone, this man or woman, boy or girl, is a different person. Brother, you are different when the unclean spirit goes. But now remember, he wasn't cast out, wasn't rebuked. He walked out on his own volition. He did it himself. The unclean spirit did. Are you with me so far? You got to stay with the story. Now, why do you suppose, ladies and gentlemen, why was Jesus Christ teaching us this marvelous truth? Why do you suppose the unclean spirit leaves a man? I'll tell you why. By giving way for a time, he says that man or woman, boy or girl will satisfy their conscience until I can come back sometime and lull them to sleep faster than ever. Let man indulge just a little bit of religion. Let him go ahead and go to the Bible Baptist Church in Ashtabula for a little season. Let him go ahead and go to an altar and pray. Let him go ahead and change how he dresses and change how he looks and change who he hangs with. And let him for a little bit just change his excitement about religion and salvation. Just go ahead. And the devil said, I'll let you do that. Because when I let him do that for just a season, he will become permanently skeptical. And then the devil will hold him fast forever and drag him to hell. How many people do you know who have entered in the years you've had a church here, have come to this altar, and have had all the appearance of salvation, born again, loving God, and now you can't even get them in church? And they say, I would never go back to that church. It means nothing to me. They had all the pretense, ladies and gentlemen, of being saved, born again, filled with God's Spirit. All that happened was the evil spirit walked away for a while, and they indulged themselves until they became skeptical, and now they want nothing to do with God. We're not finished. After a time, what happens? After a time, according to verse number 25, the evil spirit returns. Look at verse 25. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. He's still talking about that strong man. He's still talking about the devil. Do you see that so far? So now that evil spirit who walked away now says, I'm going to go back into my palace. It might be your teenage girl or boy. It might be your wife or your husband. It might be your friend that you sat right there beside in church. And all of a sudden the evil spirit said, I'm going to walk right back in to my palace. Now watch what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no opposition to the entrance of that palace. The doors are not locked to the entrance of that palace. There's no tenant there in that palace. They didn't get saved. They didn't ask Jesus Christ into their heart. They just changed some of their appearances and ways, but they never got saved. There's no man in possession of that palace. There's no other proprietor. And so the old wicked evil spirit comes back and says, ha ha, my house. Boy, it's good to return to my house. I'm going to go right back in again. And so he does. In due time, the devil comes back to those persons who are reformed but not renewed. And brethren, I'm telling you right now, there's a difference between reforming and renewing. There's a lot of folks who think they're saved and all they are is reformed. They're not renewed. When you get saved, you are renewed by the power of God. He comes back to those folks who are changed but not new creatures in Christ Jesus. And what, pray tell, does the devil see? You know what he sees? He sees the place. Now notice the Bible says it. He sees the place is empty. Does the Bible say that? Come on, amen. You preaching with me? He says, I came back to my palace. Who's the palace? That's us. The wicked individuals who live in sin. He comes back to his palace, and what's he find? He finds it empty. No God's in there. No Jesus. No Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's empty. God help us. We're trying to get people saved. They're not getting saved. They're crying a few little tears, walking out saying, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, I got it. I got it. Wow, I'm saved, born again. They don't know what born again even's all about. They never read the Bible, never come back to church. You baptize them in water and never see them again. I'm not for that kind of Christianity. Whether you're saved, somebody comes in as a tenant when you're saved. Oh, hold it. The devil comes back now. What's he see? He sees it to be empty. By the way, if it had been full, he could not have entered it again. But it's not full. Oh, let's watch something else here. If Jesus Christ, oh, I love this thought. I wrote this down, underlined it in red, and I thought to myself, I'll have a shouting spell right here. If Jesus Christ had really bought that palace, if Jesus Christ had really been there in that palace, brother, I'm telling you right now, as well as my name is James Lewis, Jesus Christ would have been standing right there at the door when the old devil came back. And said, listen, buddy, get out of here. I purchased this property with my blood, and you cannot be here. Get out of here. I'm so glad that's a truth that I understand, because I know every time the devil comes back and tries to infiltrate me, there stands Jesus. Get out of here, slew foot. Amen. You wicked, ungodly devil. Get out of here. I purchased James Lewis with my blood. You don't belong here. And I think Jesus says, Mister, not only have I purchased with my blood, but I purchased him forever.
Amen.
Ooh, boy. I'm ready to have a fit. Forever! I never have to worry about it. But hold it now. What's the devil find when he comes back to this palace? Tell me. You speak to me now. How's he find it? Number one, it's what? It's swept, garnished, and it's also empty. That's what it says, right? It's not being made up. That's what it says. It's empty. And so what does the devil do? He fills that place back up with bunches of evil. Now, next, notice in verse 25 that you just mentioned, it's swept. Now, may I say something about that, please? It's swept, but it's not washed. I almost bought a broom tonight. This is so you get the idea. You know, I've been preaching for 3 nights, this is the fourth, and I wonder how many of our good saints in this church, and I love you dearly, have been taking the broom and saying, well, preacher's right. Well, I wish I had a broom. We better start some sweeping, cleaning our little place up here. I preached on rebuilding the altar of honesty, rebuilding the altar of humility. I preached last night how the truth can set you free. And some of you are still sitting here just as bound up as you were the first night I started preaching. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Right now, it looks like to me we ought to have liberty and the power of God in this place, and this place full of ungodly sinners that you and I invited all day long to hear the gospel message. You know what we did? We took a broom. And we said, well, we better clean up a bit. No! Get washed! Get at the old-fashioned altar and get cleansed fully!
Amen.
You see, sweeping takes away the loose dirt. Washing takes away the filth. Oh, to be washed. Ooh, I love that thought. Oh, to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here's a man whose house is swept. The loose sins are gone. But he is not a drunkard. He's no longer a lustful man. He swept his place pretty well. He's tidied it and cleaned it up. Well, you would not know him to be the same old man. But as the devil looks around, he not only finds the house swept, notice something else, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now, he finds it garnished. You know, the man has bought some pictures. And he's garnished his house. Now, he's not saved, but he has that crucifix on the dashboard. But now they're going to drink of a cup of the fire. I mean, they sang, they took a songbook like all the rest of us, and they stood when the song director Brian said, let's sing. They did it. Save, save, save. And they were no more saved. Now, one day out of the miseries of hell, they're going to howl with utter pain and agony. I feel so sorry for them. They had a glimpse of heaven. They heard the wonderful man of God preach the Word of God. And by the way, this man preaches the Word of God. I thank God for Brother Emery so much. A man of God who is a pastor of a church who preaches the book. How can that not stir you every time he gets in the pulpit? And now, instead of having a glimpse of heaven, all they're going to have is the dread sight into hell. You talk about eternal life, those folks are going to feel eternal damnation. How dreadful that case must be. In this world, the Bible says, seven times worse than they were ever before, and I believe that's happening. Brother, there's folks who used to go to my church who made a profession but never had possession. And they're living like canned crud right now. I mean, they're living so filthy. And some of my good people in my church scratch their heads and say, preacher, how in the world can it be? And I take them right back to Luke chapter 11 and say, that's the way it is. Sad, isn't it? What a pity. Oh, be careful, folks. Can I warn every teenager, every mom and dad, every junior higher, be careful. Lest we be found hypocrites and self-deceived Christians. God help us. I don't care who you are. I don't care what position you hold in church. God help us not to be hypocrites. We don't need you to be hypocrites. You're going to suffer so much. Now in closing, I've got to spend about 5 minutes at least on a little bit of pleasant news. It's my duty to give you something pleasant tonight. I want to turn to more pleasant duty to show you the Savior's description of the true conversion. Do you have it? Luke 11. We'll look at verse number 22 again, one more time. But when a stronger than he, you better hold me down here. Because I don't like what I just preached about. I really love what I'm about to preach about. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. Now I want you to notice some things. The Savior's description of the true conversion starts out by saying, there is a stronger than the strong man. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There is somebody stronger than the strong man. I spent almost a half hour to 35 minutes talking about that stupid strong man. We're going to talk about he who's stronger. The man, remember, is the house. The devil is the strong man. Who, come on, say it, church. Who is the stronger man?
Jesus
Christ. Say it again. Who is the stronger man?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. What a thought. He comes by his spirit. He comes by his spirit to live in the heart of man. Christ's power is more superior to the devil's power, and everybody in this room knows it. As soon as the stronger than he comes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a conflict. Notice the conflict. The stronger man comes to the strong man, and the Bible said, he comes upon him. Get him, God. Like he just jumps on him. God, get on the devil. Get him, God, get him. Amen.
Amen.
He comes upon him. Scripture says. That's what it says. A real war breaks out. However, even though the war breaks out and it's nasty, the stronger than he overcomes the strong.
Amen.
Glorious day. Ladies and gentlemen, can you remember, maybe with moistened eyes, a leap in your heart, a leap in your step, can you remember the day when the stronger than the devil overcame in your soul? What a day it was. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, a happy day. Oh, a happy day. Oh, happy day when the stronger came in and conquered the strong. For the palace which was once defiled, when he is cast out, that strong man, he's cast out forever. I said when he's cast out, not when he walks out. When he is cast out. And brother, I'm telling you right now, I don't believe for one minute that God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, or the great Holy Spirit of God just says, would you please leave? I don't believe that. When he comes and you say, oh dear Jesus, you kneel down, I want to be saved. Oh, Jesus said, you do? Wonderful. Jumps on him. Get out of here, sleuth. What you?
Amen.
I know I get a little excited about it, but I can't help it. I love the thought. Then Christ proceeds to divide the spoil. The man's love, his memory, his judgment, his power of thought, his utterance, his working. Christ says, these now are all mine. Devil, you can't mess with it anymore. Amen? The garnishings. Remember that little cross around the neck and the crucifix on the dashboard and the cross or the picture of Jesus on the wall? Christ comes in and pulls out the garnishings. And Christ says, I'm not going to have it swept and garnished. I will wash what was only swept. And I will wash what was only garnished. I will wash it with my blood. And I will make it white, sweet, and clean. And I will strike the lintel and the two side posts with a hyssop. Ooh, glory. And with a blood mark. And then the destroying angel, when he sweeps by, shall put away his sword, shall put his sword back in his sheath. Because that blood means he's bought by God. Now, get this, I got to give you this picture. Get excited with me just a little bit. Let's say the devil comes, see? Now, he got jumped on. It says in Scripture, he overcame him, right? Jumped upon him. I love that. Now, the old devil, later on, you know, he comes swaggering back in, you know. Think I'll get back in his heart. He's discouraged with the preacher. He forgot something. I love this thought. Ooh, I love it. The devil would come back and he would like to enter back again. Suddenly he sees the blood mark. He sees the blood mark. And then he sees Jesus. Standing there. I don't know if it does, if he stands like this or not, but I like it. Jesus stands there going, amen? Devil, what are you doing? Well, I thought I'd come back in there. You know. Hey, man, be cool now. Yeah. Silly. I can see Jesus say, devil, go back! And brother, I'll tell you right now, as soon as Jesus Christ says, devil, go back! I can see the old devil, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trembling, shaking, going back to the cursed den. Brother, that's real conversion. Amen? Have you had it? Have you had it? Are you positive you've had it? Do you know 100% for sure that you've had it? If you haven't, I'd like to see you come to this altar tonight. You see, the other was not conversion, it was only conviction. This is a change of heart. The other was only a change of life. But you can change your life all you want. You can have conviction all you want. But I'm telling you, you've got to have a change of heart and life. Amen?
Amen?
Sinner, if you're here tonight, Or if you're here and you're not really positively 100% for sure, you ought to cry out tonight to the stronger than you are to come and help you. See, you got to look to Jesus, because faith is the victory. Look to Jesus, because the battle is already won. Oh, by the way, remember that broom we talked about earlier? That you've been just sweeping little sins out? Yeah, preacher was right about honesty. I better sweep that out of here. Hey, that humility thing he preached about the other night, yeah, I know. Let's sweep that out. Let's get real humble again. And you know how to be set free? You know, you heard that message. Well, that was a good one, Brother Lewis. It really helped me. I'm going to do a little sweeping, and I'm going to learn how to be free. And you know what I'd like to have you do with that broom tonight? Burn the broom! Burn it! Bust it! Throw in the fire! It's no use to go on sweeping. What you need is washing. Washing by the blood. No. Don't buy any more garnishings. They're rubbish. Come to Christ's precious blood and be really made clean. Would you stand with us, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, folks, listen, we could all leave this building very shortly, but I want to know 100% for sure if you know Christ. I trust you're not just swept and garnished. Oh, my goodness. Why don't you come to Jesus? Well, if you're here tonight, and I'll be honest, you have lost your old zeal. The fire's gone. The zeal's not there. You've been so disappointed. You've felt so many dejections and rejections. There's been so many burdens. Listen, the devil's come at you and he's trying his best to enter back in. Jesus, stand at that door and says, devil, flew foot, get out of here. If you could just realize that again tonight, would you come and just give yourself to the Lord Jesus? Maybe you would say, preacher, tomorrow I want to do some witnessing and soul winning. I want God's help as I do it. You might say, preacher, tonight I've been so discouraged and despondent. But all through the message I was so encouraged. I'm coming to God to give myself anew and afresh to Him. I wonder if you'd come. We're going to have prayer and then we're going to sing. While they sing, as soon as the prayer is over, would you start coming from your seat? Mean business tonight with God. Oh, He's done so much. He's the stronger than the strong. Why don't you come and just love Him for it? Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how my heart thrills tonight with this wonderful truth. Bless our church. Give us power with God tonight. Oh, liberate us. Give us freedom. Father, we've been repairing the altars of honesty and humility. And God, we understand how the truth can set us free. Now tonight, this stronger than the strong is so wonderful in our lives. Rebuke the devil. Cause him to go. We love You tonight. Help us, I pray, everyone who comes, give them strength. In Jesus' name.
On Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine, but I was young. I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, out to beat the other fellow, out to get what life could give, making money. Having fun, it's no crime, so I'll just wait, 'cause I've got plenty of time. eternal darkness or to heaven's ground. Judgment Day. Now eternal darkness beckons the name that he called was mine. But I thought that I had plenty of time.
Told about his love, about his saving grace, and how he came from heaven on Calvary, took my place. He said that he gave his life for me, died there in my stead. And as I turned to walk away, this is what the preacher said. What you gonna tell me when you see him face to face? Will you say you refused his love? He didn't take your place. What you gonna say, my friend, when he looks your way? What you gonna tell? Church that evening, not knowing what to do. The preacher's voice was in my ear. I knew each word was true. I knew someday that I'd meet him and that his face I'd see. The words of that preacher man kept coming back to me. Come again, or if by chance we're called away before time shall end, before that great and final day, decide, friend, what you'll do. The words of that preacher man, I now ask of you, what you're gonna tell him when you see him face.
is a time for everything, and there is a season. God has planned everything, and He has a reason. A time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to be born. He made us from the dust that we should serve Him. He wants my heart a house of bread, so He can come and meet me there. So God, I want to do my part. I'll give my soul, my very heart. I'll serve the Lord. Now is a time, if you're gonna love Him. Now is a time, if you're gonna serve Him. Let your soul reach out just now. Your heart, let it make the vow. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Now is the time if you're gonna love Him. Now is the time if you're gonna serve Him. Let your soul reach out just now. Let your heart, let it make the vow. Now is the time. Now is the time. You know now is the time. Do serve.